This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I want to take the next 20 minutes and finish off what I started last week. A word, if I can just have my laptop, please, it's there at the back. And we started chatting to one another last week about transgenerational comfort, the ability and the responsibility that God has given us to live not just for ourselves, but also to live for those who will come after us. And I'm going to read a few. Thank you, Eugene. I'm going to read for you Isaiah 38, verse 19, that is sort of just stuck with me, and I've been meditating on this. And in Isaiah 38, we see sort of the last few years of Hezekiah's life, the king of Judah, and he came out of two very important, very massive spiritual breakthroughs. The one was where their city was attacked by the Assyrians. God protected the city supernaturally, and the Assyrian army fled, I think like 180,000 of them dead. He fell deathly ill, and God healed him. And so he had these two massive spiritual breakthroughs, incredible miracles that happened in his life. And then he pens this song in Isaiah 38, and he says, the living, he thanks you, as I do this day. Before that, he spoke about, you know, what use is the dead? The dead, they can't praise God, they go down to the grave. But he says, it's the living, he thanks you, as I do this day. The Father makes known to the children your faithfulness. And that is such an important foundational element for us as believers, I believe, that God has called us to exhibit this, to have the praises of God live in our hearts as we sang this morning, to live in exuberance before God, thankfulness to God, but that our praises need to go beyond just this room, that there's a responsibility that God gives us to make known to our children God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness, not how hard we worked and how incredibly difficult things were for us and how awesome we were to get through that, but to make known to our children God's faithfulness. So this was Hezekiah's prayer. It was his declaration. It was his intention. So he was within a spiritual environment. He had a massive spiritual breakthrough. He knew what he had to do. And he said, I want to teach my children God's ways. Unfortunately for Hezekiah, it is clear that he was unable or unwilling for whatever reason to do this. And I just quickly want to read for you the child that was supposed to hear about God's faithfulness. And Hezekiah said, I know, I've got to teach my child about God's faithfulness. What happened to him? Now, his son's name was Manasseh, and we see his story in 2 Kings chapter 21, from verse 1. Now, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. That's quite something, eh? He was 12 years old when he became king. So Hezekiah, as the king, this man that experienced this incredible spiritual breakthrough, he says, I've got to teach my son God's faithfulness. And he has a responsibility because he's having to train not just any son, he's having to train the future king. And he had to train that king in the faithfulness of God. And that's our awesome responsibility that God gives us, because God says that he has called us as kings and priests to God. And so our children, they're not just some little guy or some little girl that's going to do her ballet and her netball like my girls are doing and go to school and go to all the sporting events and then try and have a good career and go through varsity without messing up and then marry someone nice and then have a good home and have a good career. No. We are having to teach God's faithfulness to kings and queens, sons and daughters who have to execute God's rule and God's reign. And so the little ones that are little right now, in our homes right now, that are not sleeping through or that are struggling to potty train or struggling to pass that subject at school, they one day are going to reign. They are having to exercise godly authority where God has placed them. And so Manasseh comes in, he becomes king when he was 12 years old. Now, the biblical scholars tell us that he was co-regent at the age of 12. So that means that he was actually reigning with his dad. And so for a 10-year period, Hezekiah was reigning with Manasseh. So he was in actual fact mentoring him, training him. So from the age of 12 till 22, Hezekiah was mentoring this boy, this future king. Okay, and think about who Hezekiah was. Think about the spiritual experiences he had. This boy, Manasseh, reigns for 55 years in Jerusalem. He was the longest reigning king out of all the kings in Israel. Isn't that incredible? He came to power when he was 12, fully when he was 22, and he reigned the longest out of all the kings. So I would then think that it would have to have been incredibly important that Hezekiah makes sure that this man who's going to be the longest reigning king in Israel's history knows his God, knows the faithfulness of God. And yet it seems, if we look at Manasseh's life, that there was a massive breakdown between the God that Hezekiah served and the God that Manasseh served. It says his mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. This is my challenge. This doesn't equate. This boy who had this dad who had this miracle in his life says he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the despicable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places that Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed. So he reverses what his father had started. He undoes a lot of the good work. He erected altars for Baal and made an Asherah pole as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. And he worshipped all the host of heaven and he served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven, the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he burned his son as an offering and used fortune-telling and omens and dealt with mediums and with necromancers, people speaking with the dead and calling up dead spirits. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. A massive breakdown between this man, the spiritual man, and his son that he failed to equip. This last week we touched on the fact that Hezekiah actually did not have a heart for the future generation. The prophet Isaiah comes to him and says to him, Hezekiah, you have sinned. You have done something that is wrong. And he cries out to God. God comes in. God heals him. But he's just happy with healing in his own life. He just says, oh man, the judgment God is going to bring, at least I'm not going to experience it. So he's got no heart for the future generations. And it is clear that the intention in his heart to teach his son never went beyond an intention. It never physically manifested. And this is something the Lord has just challenged me on. And he says, Heinrich, you can come and you can have spiritual experiences. You can have amazing miracles. And you can even be intentional. But unless you make sure that you build the bridge to your next generation, unless you connect them to the faithfulness of God, unless you actively and purposefully usher them into an understanding of who God is, there's a real danger that a lot that you have gained can be lost. And I think all of us here, we want to see our children go higher and faster and do more than what we could possibly do. But saints, that is not going to happen by us just coming to church. It's not going to happen by us just singing the songs. It's not going to happen by us just hoping that our kids will become what God has intended them to become. We have to be purposeful about it. Verse 7 says, the carved image of Asherah that he had made, he set in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I've chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not cause the feet of Israel to wander anymore out of the land that I gave to their fathers, if only they will be careful to do according to all that I've commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. So God has come and God has taught the previous generations. And he told them, if you are faithful to me, you will remain in the land. But it looks as if Manasseh had no context. He had no idea as to his history. He had no idea as to where he came from. He had no idea about the glory of this God that they were serving. Verse 9 says, they did not listen, and Manasseh led them astray to do more evil than the nations had done whom the Lord had destroyed before the people of Israel. Okay, so just hear my heart. I'm not wanting to instill fear in you, but what I do believe God is saying to us, we need to be intentional and purposeful about raising up our children according to the ways of God. And we have to do it. We cannot even leave it for the church to do. Hey, parents, it's not the church's responsibility to raise our kids in the ways of the Lord. It's our responsibility as parents. We've got to do that. Verse 16 says, moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides the sin that he made Judah to sin, so that they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Okay, so it's pretty clear Manasseh was a bad guy, all right? He was a baddie, in Katie's words. He did a lot of bad stuff, but I believe a lot of that stemmed from the fact that his dad failed to impart to him a sense of legacy, a sense of history, a sense of godliness. Now, Manasseh has to take responsibility for himself. None of us can blame our parents and say, it was my dad's fault. I've got to take ownership. But I do believe that we can make it easier or more difficult for our children to connect with God. Again, so I'm going to chat to us a little bit this morning, very quickly in the 10 minutes I've left, about ways in which we can do that. So, if we can go skip a few slides, students, and go to Psalm 145, verse 3 to 4. Psalm 145, verse 3 to 4 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. One generation shall commend your works to another. One of the reasons why we stand up here and we testify is because we want other people to know about what God has done. We don't just keep those blessings for ourselves. We have not been saved for ourselves. We have been saved for other people. Psalm 22 says the same thing. It says, posterity or legacy, those that come after us, shall serve him. And it shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn that he has done it. And so we see in Scripture that God, when he deals with an individual, he always deals with that individual based upon the fact that there is a legacy inside of that individual. So he's leading that individual to make decisions and to go on a certain route, not just for the sake of that one person, but for the people yet to be born. The physical people, but also the spiritual people yet to be born. When Theo Lynette, when was it Theo? It was 6, 7 years ago. When you came and when you laid down your life for the call of God in Somerset West, there were people yet unborn God had in mind. Many of your children were not even born yet, and now they're reaping the benefits of a children's church. Many of you weren't even saved yet. Many of you weren't in this congregation yet. But when God dealt with Theo and Lynette and called them, he didn't just call them. He was calling them together with everybody else who would be impacted through them. And so when God calls us to obedience, it's always just beyond our own lives. There's always more. There's a people yet to be born. There are people you are yet to meet. There are people you have yet to engage with that God is wanting you to impact. And so when I speak to physical parents, I'm wanting those of you that don't have kids or whose kids are out of the house, I want you to understand that God has created us as human beings to be fruitful. Not just in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. And not all of us will have physical children, but all of us have been called by God to be fruitful, to multiply, and to be spiritual moms and dads to those around us. That's our legacy. That's our calling. And we will be unfulfilled on the inside unless we give birth. Unless we give birth to children, unless we give birth to God's purposes. And there are some of us in this room even that God this morning is wanting to unlock our spiritual ability to give birth. To understand that God has saved me, yes. God has called me, yes. But he has called me for the generation to come. He has called me for these empty chairs because there are people God is busy calling. God is busy drawing. He has called me to the rest of the Helderberg Basin and the rest of South Africa that he's wanting me to impact. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 to 7 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. And so he says here that you shall teach them diligently. And so the Lord has been just speaking to me about how diligently am I teaching the ways of God to my children? How focused am I? Because you cannot be diligent about something, not be focused on it. Am I making plans to teach them? Am I thinking about teaching them? Am I cutting certain things out so that I can teach them? And the beautiful thing is that he says you can do it anywhere. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise, am I making teaching of the word part of my everyday life? Am I drawing people with me? Am I taking people along with me? Or am I just living by myself? And so I want to just give a bit of an advert for Kids Church. Nikki's there this morning teaching there. The primary school kids, we've got three teachers teaching there. Okay, for a bunch of wonderful kids. We need more, right? So I want you guys to go and pray over the holidays just to consider getting involved with the Kids Church. Right? Because at this present moment, we're putting a lot of strain on a few individuals to equip our kids for what God wants them to do. And I believe God is wanting all of us to bear that burden together. Amen? It's not a Kids Church responsibility. It's all of us. And so if the Lord stirs it in your heart, please come and chat to us. We want to, there are easy ways in which you can involve, but it is a burden that all of us have to share together. So I want you guys just to go and pray about it and think about getting involved there. But teaching diligently, I believe, just very quickly, there are seven things I want to hold before you, and I want to ask you to go and evaluate. Okay, maybe there's just one the Lord is going to speak to you about. But when we talk about teaching our children diligently, I believe it involves family devotions. It involves individual devotions, corporate prayer, when we pray together as a family, individual prayer, where we pray by ourselves. It speaks about how we suffer together, and I'll talk about that now. It speaks about how we confess our sin together. In other words, how we invite the mercy of God into our lives. And it speaks about how we relate to our spiritual church, our spiritual family. Okay, so I'm quickly going to run through them. Family devotions, very quickly. We all have our phones. Most of us on our phones have the YouVersion Bible app. Right? If you don't have the YouVersion Bible app, download it, please. It's on Play Store, the App Store, iTunes, it's everywhere. Again, on the YouVersion Bible app, there's some wonderful Bible plans. Two that I use with my kids. The one is called Grasp. It's a seven-day plan. The other one is Jesus-centered family devotions. 7 days, and there's another one, Creating Compassionate Families, 6 days. It's a wonderful app, and it gives you practical tools to sit down with your kids in the morning or the evening, and you read a little story to them. It guides you through how you can do it. Practical things like, for instance, is being thankful. And so when you drive, you play a game, I Spy. You know, what do you see? See grass, or see clouds, or whatever. And then you ask them, why is that a blessing? Why is that a blessing? And then you talk about that. And so you incorporate just teaching the word on a daily basis, everyday practical level. Okay, so I want you to consider being purposeful. Right? You've got to make time. You've got to make time. If you think about how little time we spend with our kids, how much time they spend at school, how many other people are impacting their lives, then I think we've got to seriously ask God, God, the time that I have with them, it has to be focused. It has to be quality time. Again, those there are many more Bible plans, but those have meant a lot to me. I've come to realize that in the digital age in which we live, I think it's so important that our children need to see us reading a physical Bible, having a physical Bible in our homes that our children can see, that they can touch, that they can relate to. Okay, a Bible that you make your notes in, a Bible that is a physical point of contact to them for the Word of God. Okay, it's because it's different than just something you carry on your phone. It has to have a special place. It is something special. Yeah, it's words on a paper, but it represents our anchor. It's something that we need to connect our kids with, okay, in this digital age especially. And so I want to ask you, when was the last time you had a family devotion? When was the last time you got the family together and you shared maybe just one verse together and you spoke about that verse and you asked God to show you, God, help us today to apply this word in our lives. I believe that we need to teach our kids how to have individual devotions as well. So we pray together as a family. I'm busy with Katie now teaching her. Yes, we talk to Jesus, but God is our Father. And so we go to God in the name of Jesus. And so we speak to God, our Heavenly Father. And Jesus is our friend, and we can share our heart with Him. But there's a place where we need to relate to God as God our Father. I need to teach that to her. Otherwise, she can continue praying just to Jesus for the rest of her life. Unless I teach her that the word says, whatever you ask the Father, in my name, I will give you. It's a technicality, but I have to teach her that as her dad. I've got to demonstrate that to her. And again, I have to be purposeful about it. I cannot leave it just for somebody else to do. Maybe some of us have spiritual children. Do you know how few people know how to pray? How intimidating it is for people to pray. We can come alongside someone. We can say, man, let's at work, let's take a few minutes, let's consecrate this day into the Lord's hands. And then you pray and you demonstrate how to pray freely and with joy before God. Okay, but we've got to be purposeful around it. So those of you that don't have physical children, who are the spiritual children around you? In your small group, in your workplace. Ask God to show you and be purposeful about this. What I try to demonstrate to my kids as well is to journal, is to write down the words that the Lord gives me. And I go back and I say, the beginning of this year, girls, God gave this word to me. And this is how it has worked. And we evaluate and we talk about that. Okay, let me hurry up. Corporate prayer. Take your kids. Hold hands in the morning before you go to school. Pray with them. Bless them. Say, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you this is your day. Father, the athletics coming, thank you that you help us to compete well, to do our best. But thank you that you help us to be gracious sportsmen, to see who else is suffering or maybe struggling and to help them. Okay, some of my girls, they need more encouragement with that than others. Katie's very focused. She wants to win. Anik would rather come last but get there with somebody else. So there's a balance that we have to strike there. But we've got to make use of the opportunities that every day presents us to connect life to them. Stand in faith. Stand in faith for something. Are you teaching your kids not just to save money for the gift they want to buy, but to stand in faith actually for something? Say, but we're going to work towards something. Yes, physically, I'm going to teach you the principles of saving and budgeting, but I'm also going to teach you the principle of standing in faith. Say, I'm standing in faith for that bike or for that thing that I'm trusting God for. Small things and big things, okay? Doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be too small, anything. Nothing is out of limits and out of bounds for prayer. The individual prayer, again, as a dad, am I demonstrating prayer to my kids? Do they see me praying? Do they see me connecting to God? Do they see me as I'm driving praying? Do they see me blessing the taxi when he cuts me off? Do they see me relating well to other people and blessing them? Because not what I'm going to teach them that's going to make the biggest impact is what I'm going to demonstrate to them. Do they see me praying? Or do they just see me praying around the table when we say thanks for something? I don't believe that we must force our kids and command them to pray. Thou shalt pray now. But I do think we can encourage them. It says, you want to pray? Something you want to say thanks to God for? Think about it. If they don't want to pray, then we pray. We are consistent. Again, we pray with joy. Right? It's a joyous thing to pray. Okay, then, almost done. Something I believe is crucial, which we need to teach our kids, and this is something that happens very subconsciously, but it's massive. How we relate to God when we suffer is absolutely crucial. Absolutely crucial. When do we experience pain? We experience pain when we lose something. When you lose something, you lose your job, you lose an opportunity to go on holiday, or you lose a loved one, what happens? You experience pain. And where you turn to in your moments of pain is probably one of the greatest demonstrations of what you value. What do you turn to in your moments of disappointment? What do we demonstrate for our kids? We're in a process now. We've got some frustration, something we've been standing in faith for, and it's not happening. It's not coming through yet, and we would have liked to have had it yet. And now we have a wonderful opportunity to show our kids where is God in the midst of our confusion. Where is God in the midst of our plans not working out? Where is he? And to demonstrate to them that we learn so much about God probably in the moments when it's not going well. That's the greatest moments of teaching that's available to us. And in each one of our lives as we're sitting here, we will have opportunities for pain. Where you turn to in your pain is a sign of what you value. C.S. Lewis said this. He says, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And I just felt in my heart to encourage some of you who are going through a tough time. Don't shy away from allowing your kids to be part of that process. Take them into your uncertainty. take them into you not knowing what's going on, but point them in that, point them to Christ. He's faithful. He's faithful even in the midst of us not having the answers. I also believe it's important for us as families, not just to sing together here and to read the word here, but to demonstrate to our kids what we do when we fail. To demonstrate to them that we have a mercy seat. Confess your sins together. Apologize, repent, ask for forgiveness. Most of the challenges that we deal with adults comes from a reluctance to forgive or inability to repent. Teach that to your kids. Show them. When I'm wrong towards mommy, I ask for forgiveness. When I'm wrong towards you, I get down on my knees and say, I'm sorry, I was too harsh. I should not have done that. Demonstrate that. Paul Tripp says, the key to the family functioning as redemptive community, where the gospel is the glue that holds the family together, is parents who so trust in Christ that they are ready and willing to confess their faults to their children. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable before your kids. And that goes for your spiritual kids as well, as much as your physical kids. And then lastly, I came across this quote the other day. It says, this holiday, don't neglect the trip to the throne of grace. Probably one of the most important family trips that we can make is the regular trip to the throne of grace, where we forgive one another and we receive forgiveness from God. Demonstrate that. People, there's a lack of forgiveness in this world. Demonstrate that. Our children need to see us forgiving other people. They need to see us forgiving them. They need to see us forgive ourselves. Someone here in this room, so when I was praying, I felt God is saying that you forgive others, but you struggle to forgive yourself. And so you're harsh on yourself, and you demonstrate that towards your kids. And they see that. Trust the Holy Spirit for the grace to forgive yourself. So you can demonstrate to others, there is grace even after my own failures and my own mistakes. And then the last one, I believe something we have to be diligent about and something we have to plan for and something we have to demonstrate is we need to demonstrate a life of consistent service to others. And one of the best ways to do that is within a local church family. We need to demonstrate to them consistency in laying down our lives for other people. And so that means we need to prioritize the coming together. We need to prioritize serving, packing chairs, making coffee, teaching at kids' church, being in the band, whatever it is. It's about more than just me getting a kick of what I'm doing. I'm demonstrating to my child, life is not about me. Life is about others. And I'm happiest when I lay my life down for other people. I've got to demonstrate that. And the best way to do that is in a setting like this. So I want to ask the Holy Spirit right now just to show us one or two things. We're going to make an altar call, but I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit that He's going to show each one of us this morning, what's that one thing you can identify this week? You say, I understand, I recognize it. I don't have a family yet, but I've lost sight of the fact that God wants me to be a spiritual mom or dad. So God, I want to ask you, show me where my spiritual children are, or show me where I can give birth to your purpose. Maybe you recognize that you are diligent about your career, you're diligent about getting the best possible training for your kids physically and educationally, but not that diligent spiritually. Ask God for the grace for that this morning. Father, thank you that we can come, Lord, and we want to receive from you, God, just the grace. Because we know in our own strength we are fallible, and just thinking of myself, God, there's so many times when I miss opportunities to share with my kids. I miss opportunities to demonstrate to them, Father, your Father's heart. But thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you invite us into a lifestyle of surrender to you. God, where you come and your strength is made perfect in our weakness, in our inadequacies. But Father, this morning we understand and we recognize that you have called us to declare your greatness to a people yet unborn. You have called us, God, to live not just for ourselves, but to take ownership of the generation to come. Lord, our physical kids and our grandchildren, but also spiritually speaking. And so, Father, I pray that you will come and bless us, Lord God, as Shofar Summers of the West, with a mantle and with an anointing, Lord, to declare your goodness to those coming after us. God, to impart to them an understanding and appreciation for your faithfulness, for who you are. Help us, God, to allow who you are to just flow through us. Help us, God, as we identify areas in our lives where we need to just invite your grace in. Help us do this week, God, do something practical. This week, Lord God, not just to be intentional, not just to want to do it, but to take a first step. Help us, God, with our disciplines as spiritual families. Come and grace us with a spirit that's different to that of the world. Come and grace us, Lord, with an ability to be a safe place for the nurturing of our sons and our daughters' hearts. And I pray here, Father, for those that you have called for their homes to be safe places for spiritual children, where young men and young women can be nurtured, can be mentored, can be encouraged, can be gently rebuked even. I pray, Lord, that you would stir in them an awakening and a hunger, God, to see the next generation raised up for you. And Father, I pray for those, especially single people in this room, Lord God, who feel isolated and cut off, Lord, from your generational blessing. And I pray that they will know, God, that you have called them to do mighty things in your kingdom. You have called them, you have given them time, and you've given them passions, and you've given them gifts, Lord, that they can invest, God, in the lives of those around them. And I pray you will come and stir their fountains again, God. In the name of Jesus, thank you for being with us and helping us, Lord God, in this mighty task to which you have called us. In Jesus' name. So I want to ask you that you would just open up to someone next to you and look at that list. And if there's something the Holy Spirit has placed on your heart, just pray together and say, I just want to receive the grace to walk humbly. I don't want to be afraid to open up to my kids and pray for one another. The Lord will help us in that, and will help us this week to do something practical about what He has shown us. Thanks. So let's turn to one another and let's spend a few minutes in prayer. And then you are most welcome to get your kids from Kids Church. And we're going to go up to the activity center afterwards, just in some time of celebration. But let's pray together. If you're here with your husband and your wife, it's a good time to pray with them. If you've come alone, walk across to somebody else maybe. Just look around. If there's someone who doesn't have someone to pray with, just go and pray with them. And just commit your heart to the Lord. And especially if you don't have children, pray for those spiritual kids. Right? Pray for the spiritual kids. Pray that the Lord will help you to take ownership of the next generation around you. Bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.